overflowing with love. I am overflowing with happiness. I am filled with the power to make a change. You create a brand new life. I am overflowing.
Welcome to the podcast of the Sunday Celebration from the Center for Spiritual Living in Huntsville, Alabama. We hope you feel the grace, the beauty, and the love of our community as you hear the message of the week.
Thank you, that was beautiful. This month we're talking about the grateful heart. And last Sunday, Glory G spoke on the path of heart. It was Carlos Castaneda said, if whatever spiritual path you're on, if it doesn't have heart, it's not worth following. Makes you think, doesn't it? Does your path have heart? Does your marriage have heart? Does your sense of the environment have heart? So to play with that, and today I'm talking about the entrainment of the heart. And this is a chapter in the book that Mark Nepo did, Better Together Than Alone. And you know what entrainment is? Entrainment is the birds that flock together, that fly together, they're entrained to one another. Or if you go to an aquarium and you see the fish all moving together, they're entrained to each other. They've shown that if you take a heart cell of two different heart cells, one's beating at this rate and the other's beating at another rate, after a while, they start beating together. Or have you ever, Thich Nhat Hanh does this beautiful way of counseling marriage, people who are having a difficult time. If you're having a difficult time in your marriage, this is what he suggests, that you go to one another in silence, which is the language of God, and you put your arms around your partner, and you take three deep breaths together, breathing in together and exhale together. Let your heart beat next to each other. Take another deep breath and exhale together. I think I did this with you, didn't I, Kat? Take a deep breath, and you exhale together, and then you just step back. Your hearts have been trained, you know? And if you can't do it with a human, do it with your dog or your cat. They love it. Every morning, I wasn't going to start on the eulogy, but I might as well, because I did want to talk about this incredible circle of love gathering that we had up in Canada. It was called The Alchemy of Love. And the whole time I'm reading this wonderful book called The Grace in Aging, and this woman, who's a Zen Buddhist, talks about the power of intention. You know, the power of intention. What's my intention for the day? And then intention has to be married to commitment. It doesn't mean anything. So let's say my intention is to live from heart. So then the commitment then is to see with the eyes of the heart. The commitment is not to get in my head and start analyzing and judging and have my concepts and beliefs and judgments. No, the commitment is, if I'm going to have the intention to live from that beautiful, spacious place of heart, then the commitment is to see with the eyes of the heart. And then out of that forms a practice that's intimate to you. You know what your practice is. I used to go to the gym all the time, and I'd be walking on a treadmill, and everybody would be watching the news with their headsets. And I thought, why am I walking on a treadmill with a bunch of microphones in my ears when I could be walking on the mountain trail with Bert and Speck and Humphrey? So every day they get 5 miles of walks, and I get to look at the beautiful trees and experience life through the joy that they have in the smallest of things. You know, the vet said, you got 48 months with the baby. And we checked with Jody. There's a cancer doctor we could go to in Nashville and spend a fortune and make her life miserable. Or, as Jody suggests, we can make the time she has here joy-filled and go to the fields where she wants to frolic and the smells that she likes. And Trey said the last morning that she was alive, he took her to her favorite field and she rolled on her back and she still could do the baby Speck things, you know. She was just filled with joy and wonder. She didn't know that this was the last day on life. She treated every day as if it were the last day. And so Baby Speck, the gospel of Baby Speck, she taught me how to have fun and how to play. She loved the ball. Remember, I didn't tell you this, but the psychic that said, she said, throw the ball when you get back. She's still here. Because she said, your dog liked the ball, didn't she? I said, yes, she did. How do you know that? She said, I know these things. And then she said, throw the ball and it probably won't come back. I told that to Trey. He thought I was crazy. He says, what kind of people go to these events? But But Baby Speck did love the ball, and it was to the degree that I would throw it, and she would catch it, and she would throw the ball back. But then she got tired of playing the catch at the ball, and she would lie on her back, and she would take the ball in her mouth, and she would raise it up with her paw, and then she would release it and catch it. And then she would go like this, and then she'd go grab the ball again, and then she would lift it up in the air, and then she'd drop it and catch it. She was saying, I can catch it and do it by myself. I don't need you. I'm self-reliant. She taught me how to receive. You know, that's the biggest challenge for some of us. I'm a great giver, but I'm hard time receiving. So Baby Speck would come down every morning, and Bert would be in his chair. Bert always is in the chair. And Speckles would sit at the foot of the chair, and she would lift her face up to Bert, and Bert would lean over, and he'd lick her ears. One ear, then she turned the face. He'd lick the other ear. Then he'd lick her eyes. And she showed me, this is how love. I said, wow, to have a love relationship like that, where you just go and sit, and he just cleans her ear. She had this ability to be patient beyond measure. So when Humphrey wanted to love Speckles, instead of licking her face, Humphrey would nurse on her neck. Like a little, Jane kept saying, what is he doing? I said, he's nursing. And she would just sit there and let him nurse on her neck and nurse on her neck. That was his way of doing love with Baby Speck. But my favorite was Smudge the cat. Smudge would come up to Speckles, and she had her claws because she climbs trees. She would take one claw in one jowl, the other claw in the other jowl. Speckles was looking like this. And then Smudge would chew on her ear. Chew, 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 chew.
Speckles would look at me like, whoa, if this is the way it has to be, I guess this is the way it has to be.
You know, she taught me how to be with fear more than any animal that I've ever had. There was the night from hell, we were up on Cape Cod. She was terrified of thunderstorms. Anybody have an animal that's terrified of thunderstorms? And we found that if you put your arms around them or wrap them in swaddling, she would feel safe. But it was thunder and lightning on Cape Cod, and Trey woke up. I was asleep. He said, Speckles has to go to the bathroom. That dog never once peed in the house. She was so well trained. So he let her out, thinking she had to go to the bathroom, but she disappeared in the thunderstorm. He wakes me up and said, Speck's gone. I said, what happened? He said, I let her out. She ran away. I said, she wouldn't run away in a thunderstorm. And we have a lot of coyotes on the Cape. So I go to Bert. I woke Bert up and said, Bert, go find Speck. You know, that doesn't work.
Well, I just sound asleep. What do you want me to do? I'm sleeping, and you're telling me to go in the thunderstorm?
You know, he didn't go out and find her. So it was pitch dark, thunder and lightning. I go to bed, and I managed to fall asleep, and I had this vision that she'd been abducted by aliens. Then I had the vision that she was eaten by coyotes. And then I had this third vision that she's under a bush in the mud, shaking like a little leaf, and I woke up. And the sunrise was just beginning to come, and we got out, and we got Bert in the car, and Trey and I are looking. And we saw this little Irish lady, heavy Irish brogue, and we showed a picture of the baby out on the phone. If you see her, and I wrote the phone number on a little napkin in the car. We go around, there's another man getting up early, the early, early morning walkers, showed him the picture, said, she looks like the one in the back seat, Bert, you know, and wrote the number down on the phone. And Trey said, let's go back home. We circle around to the Cape House, and we see a man coming up from the beach. We get out, Trey, he's walking his dog, a golden retriever, I'll never forget. He goes down to the guy. Yeah, he said, I did see a dog that looked like that. He said, she was about a mile up the road. I saw her under a bush lying in the mud. So we head off the road. And there's the Irish woman trying to get her to come out. And there's the other man, the synchronicity, calling us on the phone. And she saw us in the mud. She came running and she leapt in the car. The car was her oasis and she shook like a leaf, PTSD. And we couldn't get her out of the car. So we call our dog whisperer, Jody. And she said the most beautiful thing. She said, you've all been through a great trauma, all of you. And she says, you're no good to her if you're still in the trauma. She says, you've got to be this space of peace for her, even though she can't find it. And so we managed to get the baby into the house. And we tried everything to seduce her out of her trauma. She loved stuffed animals. She would rip them apart. She wouldn't go to the stuffed animal. We tried the bone. She wouldn't go to the bone. And every time I tried, Bert would come over and pick up the stuffed animal. Doesn't care a bit about him. He'd bring him to the other side of the room. The bone, she wouldn't go near it. She was shaking. He'd pick up the bone, and he moved it to the other side of the room. And then Trey and I looked at each other and we realized Bert's the only one that can get her out of this thing. He knew how to speak her language. So he did manage to get her out of that thing. And devotion and courage, embracing fear. Oh, she also helped me have a sense of humor. I had a holy woman come. She was going to do a retreat here at the center. She was a Hindu woman, and she was at the house in her sari and her bindi and all that. Do you have a bathroom? She said, I said, it's around the corner, and you can use it. And I have an old house with old doors, and she's in the bathroom, and all of a sudden, I guess the bathroom door flung open, and Baby Speck went into the bathroom, and she's screaming. And you know where Baby Speck's nose would always go. And I said, it's okay, it's okay. And I'm laughing secretly, and this Hindu saint is in the bathroom coping with Baby Speck in all her special ways. But my favorite was how she would come to satsang. How many of you were in satsang with Baby? Yeah. And she would come, and we would do generational healings. And they were really cathartic. And I'll never forget, I think it was Terry's, when everybody ended up in a puppy pile on the floor. Or it might have been Tia's. There's so many of you. And they're sobbing. It's the culmination. Everybody's kind of closure. And Speckles waddles over with her bad hips, lays down by the pile, and she puts her paw on everybody. Because she knew that we're all connected. So what if divine love comes in that form? And you know, I was grieving, and I barely caught the plane in Vancouver home. I stood in line for maybe an hour, and then I had to go through security to get back in the country, and the flight's leaving. Have you ever, anybody been there, and you're running through this airport in a foreign country, and your flight's boarding, and I'm running on that, and this thing was sitting up in one of the stores. I ran back. This is what she looked like. She was a prettier version of this. And I ran back to the store, and so I'm going to put her up here next to the flowers so she can bless our service, because she was, she's always here. She's always here. So up there at this Circle of Love event, I had a real powerful breakthrough. And I want to bring it to our satsangs. I won't be there this week because I have to go to Ohio to do a celebration of life for Etika Luckett with Lisa. And but Patrick Cameron came down from Edmonton, and he's been working with they call Circles of Eight. And it's from a Lynn McTaggart book called The Power of Eight. And they work with the wisdom of heart math. And what they found is that what we are energy centers. We're portals of love, if you will. And so you would work with eight people in a circle, and you would select one. And of course, Patrick knew that I was grieving the baby and Etika, so he insisted that I sit in the circle at the beginning. And what you do is you power up. You power up the very same way I showed you in the heart math thing. You see someone you love. You allow yourself to get in that frequency, and you are literally a transmitter of love. So he had everybody power up in the circle, and then he asked the person in the center, me in this moment, to set an intention. And my heart was literally shaking out of my body. People thought I was having a heart attack. It starts to shake. So I set my intention to have a peaceful heart. And then someone in the circle says, David's intention is to have a peaceful heart. And then for 10 minutes, all they do is to transmit that peaceful heart into you. And you, just like Speck sitting at the thing with Bert licking her ears, you in the center for 10 minutes have to receive that transmission from these people. And of course, it just evoked all this emotion in me. The next thing I know, everybody's hand was on me transmitting that peace. And I was entraining myself to their hearts that were peaceful, and mine wasn't. Mine was vibrating like a volcano. And they say, what is wrong with you? I said, I don't know. This is what my heart does. You've seen it. Jody's seen my heart do that. And so after 10 minutes and they rang the bell, I felt like I was on some kind of drug, this love thing. And I got up, and Patrick held me in his arms, and I said, I need to ground myself with nature. And so Canada's cold and rainy. So I walked out of that room. They were still processing the groups. They were in circles. And I went out, and I was just meeting the trees. and I was looking out at the ocean, and there was an orca that was coming up. And they had the bald eagles. And I just walked, kept walking around, and entrained myself to the peace of nature. Because that's what we get to do. Set an intention, have a commitment, and then find a practice. For me, nature has to be the practice. We were in Ghost Ranch, and we made it. We did a prayer at the end of the Taizé service. We cried out to life, teach me and show me the way, to the trees, to the mountains. And Etika was there, and she echoed it, teach me and show me the way. And all this volcanic feeling came up in me. And I've always been afraid of it, so I ran away from the people. And because I was sobbing, and I ran to an old tree. That's my entrainment. And I thought, this tree will ground me. So I'm holding on to this ancient old tree. And this young girl way over there said, you need a hug, old man? She jumped over the wall. She came running around. And a total stranger just put her arms around me as I'm hugging on the tree. And what if that's the entrainment? We get to love one another. I was on the boat coming back, the ferry, and there was a little boy like this. And he was just as precocious as hell. And he saw the orca out in the water. And he's screaming. And everybody else is on their little thing with their headsets. Have you noticed there's an epidemic of addiction to this? And the little boy screaming, there's an orca out in the ocean. Everybody stopped and they went running to the window to see the ocean out there with its spout and all that sort of stuff. What if a child shall lead them? Sometimes we need that innocence, that ability to get out of our seriousness and our distraction by life and find that the beauty is just right there. It may be a tree, it may be a whale, maybe a little boy that leads them, that reminds you. There was a man that came to the retreat. His name is Ken, and he has separation anxiety, or maybe his dog does, I don't know, but he came with his dog. And he says when he leaves the house, the dog goes through some kind of anxiety, and he calls himself the service dog. So I says, don't leave Henry in the car. I said, bring Henry into the room. So all week long, there was this little wiggly dog moving from person to person. It was almost like Baby Speck was there because he knew who needed that love. Dogs are uncanny. I said, take him off his leash. He's fine. And little Henry went around. And you know, when you go to these events, there's lots of feelings that arise. And there was a lot of grief at this particular one because, you know, we experienced kind of a collective grief. We had an election in our country. I asked the Canadians to pray for our country, and it was really sweet. But I found that the medicine of the dog was really what was so powerful in that whole room. He didn't know that he was bringing the medicine, but he was. There's a little Ojibwe prayer for the planet. You know, while I was there, they had the fires in California. And how much suffering is taking place on this planet. It's kind of overwhelming sometime. But the key is to not close your heart off when that's happening. So I brought my book of prayers from the First Nations. And you really feel the sense of the First Nation up there because they consider everything sacred. And the white man, we were called the colonizers. We were the one that took the land away from them. But the Canadians are starting to give it back. Because it was theirs for thousands of years, and they recognized they just took it because we can, you know. But here's an Ojibwe prayer. It says, Grandfather and Grandmother, look at our brokenness now. We know that in all creation, only the human family has strayed away from the sacred way. We know that we are the ones who are divided, and we are the ones who must come back together so that together we can walk the sacred way. Grandfather, grandmother, sacred ones, teach us love, teach us compassion, teach us honor, so that we may heal the earth and so that we may heal each other. So I'm going to invite you to just close your eyes just for a sweet second. And let me bring my guru of the heart here over my heart. Now, we know we don't worship symbols here. She's just a reflection of that which will never leave us. I came home and her ashes are on the dining room table. So I gave Trey this little stuffed animal so he could smile again, knowing that she's not in the box. but she's all around us. And as we breathe into that intimacy with life, we can actually know that life is here for us and that we are the ones that we've been waiting for. We get to bring the light back into the darkness. We get to bring the love back into the fear. And we do that by embracing the fear. Cynthia James had an acronym for love because it's the circle of love. And she says the L is about listening. Listening with our hearts. Not with the idea that we're going to give somebody an answer or an opinion, but that we're going to listen to deeply understand. And the O is about opening. Opening to what is. Not closing ourselves off, but truly opening our heart to sometimes the suffering of the planet so that we can embrace it. The V, she said, is our values. We get to inquire, what do we deeply value? Authenticity, freedom, self-expression. To really honor what we value and make it our spiritual practice. And then the E would be to embrace the moment just as it is, with a quiet heart and a clear eye. A heart that is open, an eye that sees what is, not what it wants to see. And in seeing what is, give thanks. And in that thanksgiving, know that we open to the grace of life, the unmerited givingness of the universe in every moment that says all is well, all the time. And you know how you know that? Because it is. So take a deep breath and give a sigh. In the silence, there is peace. In the silence, there is unspoken joy. In the silence, there's release from a world filled with chaos. And we rest in that silence. So it is.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information, please visit www.cslhuntsville.org.